Acts chapter number 1. Again, as we take a few Wednesday nights and talk about prayer, Acts 1:14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Acts chapter 4 and verse 24. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. We find that very interesting phrase in the Bible, with one accord. The word that is translated one accord is the word that has the idea of one passion. One passion. It's a very active word. It's a very full picture. And you talk about people, having passion. Well, you know when someone has passion, right? And it says they had one passion. It's interesting as you look at this context. Verse 6 of chapter 1, they said, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom? And he said, no. But then he said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. We find the context of that passion is now the Lord has directed their thoughts not to looking for the kingdom, but looking for spreading the gospel to the ends of the world. Now their focus was on spreading the gospel. And in that context, this job, this commission, this duty, this obligation, is their passion. You know, Bible says that the Laodicean church is lukewarm. I guess you'd say that the Laodicean church is a church without passion. Oh, they're passionate about being rich and increased with goods, but passion for the gospel. Now, it's kind of interesting as you look at the context. Their passion is all about now world evangelism. As you see their messages, what is their passion? This same Jesus whom you crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ, the resurrection. And that through faith in his name, there's remission of sins. The accomplished gospel. And we find this this sense of passion. The Bible says they were in one place, they were in one accord in prayer and supplication. Now they have this great duty, this great commission, this great picture in front of them. And they're waiting for the Holy Spirit The power. It's an interesting statement. He said, the Holy Spirit, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he said, you shall be witnesses. You know, most of us reinterpret that, you might be a witness, right? And maybe you'll be a witness. But it wasn't stated that way, that the real work of the Spirit of God would make them witnesses. Not in only hostile Jerusalem, but to the ends of the dark world. I think it's interesting in chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost was come, they were all with one accord in one place. That's quite a statement. They were all with one accord in one place. You know, that's a pretty good picture of a real church. And in one sense of the word, they didn't want to be somewhere else. They didn't want to be somewhere else, obviously, because the Lord said that He was going to send the Holy Spirit. But it really gives a picture of the passion of the disciples for the work of God and the passion that was behind that prayer. Obviously, that really isn't probably really true in our church right now. Because, when the Lord is really working, a person doesn't want to miss. Because they don't want to miss what the Lord's going to do. But when the Lord isn't doing anything in people's lives, or maybe He's not doing anything in the church, people, they don't mind missing. There's no passion. Maybe they don't have passion. But there's a passion about the church and about the work of God and what God was going to do. And of course, when we look at Acts 2:46, we find that same Spirit. And they continued daily with one accord, one passion. You know, that is the great picture, but also the great obstacle to a New Testament church. What is the obstacle to having a real New Testament church? Well, in the day in which we live, many times some people get right with the Lord, get on fire for God, but at the same time somebody else is dropping off and going backwards. Do you ever think of the task of getting everyone in the church having a passion for God? Not just a few, not just some, not just 40%. But 100%. I wonder, are you a part of the... If we took a poll today or had the results written down by God, what would the results be? You know, we had a list, and says, okay, these are the people of Mequonago Baptist Church that have passion And these are the people who don't. How do you think we would do? Wouldn't want to say, right? We have a pretty interesting picture of the New Testament church. And many times we all get lost in our own life. We get lost in what we're doing. We get busy. Maybe even get distracted by the things that take our heart. And we fall out of that category of people with passion for the gospel. And so as you think of that phrase, the one accord, the unity of the church, it's not just a dead word. It's a word loaded with spiritual truth. That one accord was one passion for God's power, for the spread of the gospel. The reality of the resurrection of Christ and the completed salvation, that was their passion. And it kind of gives us an insight into answered prayer, doesn't it? Gives us an insight into answered prayer. Now there's both individual passion and there's church passion. I like that verse in Leviticus 26 where it says, 5 will chase 100. But 100 will chase 10,000. Kind of shows you the more people that are doing right, more power there is in the church. Now that passion can be children. That passion includes teenagers. That passion includes young adults. That passion includes married couples. That passion includes singles. That passion includes senior citizens. I'm not 62 yet, doesn't include me. Includes senior citizens. But seriously, the power of a church with unity of passion. Think of all the things, all the reasons that take away your passion for God. And sometimes the devil uses good excuses. Sometimes the devil uses sin. But it all has the same result. A loss of passion. And we need to think about that and face the Lord even tonight about our passion for the work of God and for His power. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this truth. And pray that, Lord, that Your Spirit would have freedom even in our midst as we talk about this and we apply it to our life. perhaps even tonight, the reality is the Spirit of God is working in your heart. And you say, I've lost that passion. And God's speaking my heart tonight, Pastor. Pray for me, because I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to work in my heart about the need that I need to have that passion for God, for souls, for His power. Anyone here tonight, just lift up your hand wherever you might be. God speaking to your heart. Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, now we're a greatly needy people. And as you look down from heaven, Lord, you see the needs of our hearts to be filled with your Spirit, to have passion for you and for your work and for souls and even life. The passion of life as we humble ourselves before you as we pray even tonight. Lord, we ask in your grace that you would work in each of our lives, especially those, Lord, who have raised their hand tonight. Might you be glorified. Help us to keep that humble spirit hungering, Lord, and thirsting for your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.